First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Let's start you out with some headlines. There's a group of NBA players that are hesitant to restart the season in Orlando, even though it's in a bubble. A faction of NBA players hold conference calls to discuss uncertainty about restarting the season in Orlando, Florida, in a bubble. And at this point, they're trying to figure out how safe they can feel. There were 40 to 50 players on conference calls over the past 24 hours talking about a number of concerns centered on the restart in Orlando. There has been no formal petitioning to the NBAPA from any group wanting out of the 22-team resumption. So players are talking about it, but there hasn't been any necessary petition going forward trying to figure out what it means. Now, NBA teams will have to try and figure out how to handle it. And Woj tweeted out earlier, players deciding against participating in Orlando could be replaced by a substitution player. NBA plans to allow replacements for players who test positive for COVID-19 or suffer injuries. Replaced players become ineligible for the rest of whatever this season looks like. So they'll have to figure that detail out. Speaking of details, we're getting more details from the NHL. The NHL and the NHL Players Association have announced that formal training camps for the 24 teams resuming play will begin on Friday, July 10th. If conditions related to the coronavirus pandemic allow it, the league and its players currently in phase two of their, quote, return to play protocol. NHL team training centers were reopened this week for small groups of players. Phase three would be the opening of training camps, which are expected to last upwards of 3 weeks. Phase four, the restart of the NHL season with the 24-team postseason, would then commence in August. So still several steps to go through, but at least for now, more steps moving forward. And lastly, some basketball, you know you're going to get to watch the basketball tournament. That's it. That's the name, the basketball tournament. It's a winner-take-all affair for seven figures. It's going to be held next month. It'll become the first live televised basketball competition in America since the coronavirus pandemic sidelined sporting events around the world in March. Features former college stars and overseas standouts. The TBT will be held at Nationwide Arena, home of the Columbus Blue Jackets, for a 24-team tournament in Columbus, Ohio, from July 4th to 14th. Event officials announced on Thursday. It's in its seventh year. The TBT prize money will be $1 million. It was $2 million last year. The event will air on ESPN. So you get to watch a little bit of basketball there and have a little bit of fun. Get to see some live sports. Those are the headlines you need to know. First Take, your take, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. We've been taking your take as a lot of conversation today has come from NASCAR's announcement yesterday that the Confederate flag will no longer be allowed to be flown at NASCAR events. I said it last hour. I will say it again. This is a huge moment. This is a moment that I believe NASCAR historians will look back on forever as a day that the sport changed. It's changed in the court of public opinion. It changed in the stereotypes that were given to the sport. The sport had an opportunity here to either hide behind the past or move forward boldly and say, we don't care if it alienates some of our fans. The fact that they did that so strongly to me is an incredible statement. We're taking your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. David Hartford, what's your take on the NASCAR moment?
Hey, what's going on? So you're absolutely right with the whole, big step thing, whole, good step forward. But basically America has a whole lot of relearning to do. And by relearning, I mean, we're stuck in our ways, clearly, because if you look at the end of the Civil War in 1865, that's not when all those Civil War monuments were made. Robert E. Lee even said during the Civil War, when he was still alive, he didn't want monuments to the war because that would reopen the sores of the war. So he was against it. So any person that's trying to say, got Robert E. Lee, yada, 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 no, they're lying. Two, if you think it's all about heritage, no, every statue was built after the Civil War was completed. So basically every single statue, and you'll see spikes of it back in 1930, you'll see a spike of it in 1890, then you'll see a spike of statues built in the 1960s during the Civil Rights Movement. So is it really about history? No, it's just intimidation. America is so set in its ways that it's really just kind of a sick thing. So anybody, like you said, that tries giving you that, oh, the stars and bars is my heritage, it's my history, no, it's just intimidation, because if it's really your history and your heritage, it would be inclusive for people to try to come in it, when really the stars and bars and everything about the Confederacy is, you get out, this is mine, not yours.
Thanks for your take on it. Strong words, and that's some straight talk. In fact, I'll go straight from that straight talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless to the straight talk from the other side of it from today on First Take. And, you know, Ray Ciccarelli is a NASCAR truck driver that most of you have never heard of. And frankly, most of you will never hear of again. But he's in the news today because he made it clear yesterday that now that this policy has been enacted, he's out. He's not going to be a part of NASCAR anymore. So Marty Smith, one of the best in the business at covering the sport, joined Dominique Foxworth and Max Kellerman today to react to the driver's comments.
If Ray Ciccarelli, whom I had not heard of before that post, wants to pack up his ball and take it on to the house, that's his prerogative. This is the United States of America. He has that right. But if that, and quite frankly, if that is his perspective, then he can pack up his ball and take it on down the highway. For today's sporting landscape, today's entertainment landscape, today's human landscape, there's just no room for anything that makes anyone feel disparaged or makes anyone feel lesser or uncomfortable. And so NASCAR's decision, maybe it will mean Ray Ciccarelli retires from the sport. Enjoy it, man. I hope you enjoy whatever you're going to do in the future, because there's 1,000 race car drivers at the late model level and lower who would be more than happy to take that spot.
It's interesting. I think I'll agree with most of what Marty says, but I'll take it a slight step further. Is I don't think it's all about making people feel comfortable. I do think that's part of it, and I don't think it's about not offending certain people. I think that's part of it, but I think, as Max put yesterday, that flag was the flag of a rebellion. A flag that wanted, that represented people who wanted to destroy the country that we now live in. So to me, it's mind blowing that it still hangs around and it still exists in any level. But I do think also that to only characterize it as making people feel comfortable and making people feel welcome, like, I think that's an important thing, especially from a business standpoint. But to only characterize it as that, I think, kind of misunderstands what the flag fully represents and what people who wave that flag. I can't imagine, like, I can go through the list, and I don't want to be hyperbolic, but I can go through the list of many other countries or organizations specifically that have had attacks on these, on American grounds. And I can't imagine for the life of me anybody feeling comfortable going to a sporting event, a NASCAR event no less, and bringing that flag up. Like, there's so many people who I think could point to different things and say this and change what it means. This flag represents X to me, so I want to wave it here. Obviously, it's America. You have the right to wave, to fly whatever flag you want to fly. However, we have to fully understand the history. And I think that some people want to hide behind saying what it means to them, when just to absolve themselves of this connection to what it actually stood for. And not only did it stand for the subjugation of black people, it stood for the destruction of this country that so many of them believe. Like, it's ironic, and it just kind of highlights the stupidity of Ray Ciccarelli when he goes through that as if he's saying, I don't want to live in this, or I don't want to work in this place. And he suggests, and I don't remember all the quotes in that terrible post, but it seemed to me like he was suggesting that this is a change to the America that he knows and America that he appreciates and an organization that exists in that America. How in the world can you stand on the ground of wanting to wave a flag that wanted to destroy that? Go ahead, Max.
Marty, I love the way you've been covering this and bringing this to a mainstream audience. I do think that when it is said, you know, no one should ever feel uncomfortable. This is like, it's a little different on a college campus, but I don't believe in safe spaces in terms of ideas. I like to feel uncomfortable with different opinions and different ideas. And that's America. And that's the kind of place in which I'd like to live. I don't think the Confederate flag simply falls under that category, although it does fall under that category. I think there's a more specific category that excludes it from using it, participating in public life in America, which is it's a flag of treason and of racism and of pro-slavery positions. Look at the seceding southern states. Like, look what each one of them stated first paragraph about why they were fighting. And the fact that subsequent generations turned it into, and it was a willful act on the part of previous generations, turned the Confederate flag simply into a more generic kind of Southern pride thing for them, is bogus. I'm not saying that dynamic doesn't exist. That's not a good enough reason to fly it. It's based on misinformation and disinformation. In other words, propaganda intentionally put out to get people to believe things that are untrue. And leftover racism. So I think it's not simply that we can't do anything that makes anyone feel uncomfortable in public events ever. I think in this case, this rises to a level that other things don't.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. That's some straight talk wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. And to me, this is a great opportunity for NASCAR. I mean, frankly, they have the opportunity to really stand up and say, I don't care about somebody that most of us don't care about. And it's a lesson to everybody. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Tone changes at the lowest possible level. Like, we create tone change. So when you've got somebody in your life that says things like this, it's super easy to use this as an opportunity, just like NASCAR, to turn around and say, you know what? If that's the way you feel, cool. Go find a new group to hang out with. That's essentially what NASCAR could do. Graham in Orlando, love your taking your take. What you got, Graham? What's your take?
Hey, Fitz, good to talk to you again. And they said it probably much more eloquent than I can, but what pains me the most is in this case, it's a willful disregard. For some, it's ignorance. In this case, for this driver, it's a willful disregard. And it showcases the amazing amount of selfishness that we as human beings, and especially white human beings, have. When he comes out with the line, it doesn't affect me either way, that's fine, but it affects somebody else. It affects an entire race of people in a way that we cannot possibly comprehend. And I wish that he would seize this moment and have what I hope was a true Drew Brees aha moment after he made his comments on Yahoo Finance last week, and come out publicly and say, you know what, I was wrong. I completely missed the mark on this, and I'm realizing that I have so much ability to grow as a human being and an understanding, and to see something even as big as a virtual town hall, if you did, with Bubba Wallace and him, or in some way where maybe he is the voice of that small but vocal minority of NASCAR fans to say, guys, we have been so completely wrong on this, and we have a chance to change generations of our families and everybody across this sport and across this country and the way they perceive what we have allowed to go on for so long.
Well, and you're right. I think that's the next level in conversation, is to try and continue going. And it would be amazing if we could see somebody come out and say, hey, I was wrong about this and I want to walk it back. I realize now I've changed my mindset on it. But, you know, I think the other part of it you said, and it's so funny because I've been trying to not use the word vocal minority when it comes to NASCAR, because the word minority right now is so much about what this flag is, who this flag is hurt, and are groups that just aren't getting represented. And it is a small group of NASCAR fans that are creating this sort of loud roar that's terrible. And it's terrible for the sport, and it's huge. It's a massive moment for the sport to move forward. And I'll go back to, you know, you pointed out in your take about how ignorant this doesn't affect me becomes in conversation. And for anyone that's ever followed my work over the years in Nashville, we had the opportunity on the station I was with here in Nashville to work with a group called MEND that focuses on domestic violence. And one of the things they talked about in the training for us on how we could do better was demanding better conversations from the guys that are in your social circles. And I've also been very vocal in my life about Pride Month and what that means to me, and the number of times that I've had to sit down and explain to some of my friends how some jokes are just so incredibly hurtful to large groups of my friends and to people that I care about. And it's eye-opening. And a lot of times having these real vulnerable, open conversations saying, hey, your actions are actually hurting this person, can affect change. I believe that's what NASCAR can be doing right now, is telling their entire audience, including the ones that are resistant to change, that your actions when you fly that flag are hurting an entire group of people. Why would you want to hurt an entire group of people? And I know that's an oversimplified discussion here, but I think it's a major part of it. Now, Ryan McGee had the best thing in history yesterday when he said flat out on this show, you know, that he believes that the place for the Confederate flag to be flown is in a museum where it can have context with it and people can read about it and understand it. Ryan McGee went further today, joining First Take to talk about his reaction to the fact that NASCAR has done this. He joined Max Kellerman and Molly Karam.
I never thought I'd see it in my lifetime. It's that significant. I think about when I first walked into the garage with a credential on, being paid by ESPN to cover a race. It was 25 years ago. And I went to the Darlington Raceway, and there was an old man sitting at a card table right at the entrance of the Winston Cup Series garage selling Confederate flags. And to go from what I saw that day to what I know that that garage is now and what I know that sport is now, and then to finally make it official. And that's not a punt. It's not a let's trade flags and we'll give you this. This is a you do not bring it on the grounds. And I would be lying if I said I thought I would see that in my lifetime. And I'm proud. As a NASCAR fan, I'm proud because I know what that garage is. I know who those people are. I know what they stand for now versus what people believe that they stand for. And the reason they believe that was because of that flag. So now it won't be there after a fight, I'm sure, but it won't be there. And that's a monumental moment.
Obviously, the flag, like one of the ways they hide the argument for the flag, or they hide the reason they have a flag out there, is they, well, originally, yes, this is what the flag meant. But over the generations, that kind of meaning got lost. Of course, this was intentional, right? This was done intentionally by a group of people intent on not really losing the Civil War. But at any rate, that in fact did happen for some people. It did lose the original meaning, and they associate it instead with some kind of cultural pride or pride of region or something like that. What kind of internal discussions within NASCAR have happened when that defense was brought up?
It wasn't brought up in those meetings. And I think that's the difference in the NASCAR leadership now versus, quite frankly, just a couple of years ago. Certainly 10 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago. It never took place. NASCAR President Steve Phelps, I talked to Steve Phelps on the phone last night during the Martinsville race about this. And they had a meeting, and it was put out on the table. This is what we're going to do. The announcement's going to go out. If anyone has a problem with this, they can leave now and find another job. And no one disagreed with it. And I think that's been the damage that's been done. It's the damage that was done when Kyle Larson said what he said on a live microphone, dropping the N-word during a video game just a couple of months ago. And you saw how quickly he has vanished from stock car racing. And so I know what the garage is. I know where Steve Phelps, the president of NASCAR's heart is. I know what he believes in. And I know what everyone in there. I used to work there. I was on the payroll at NASCAR 15 years ago for a brief time. I know who those people are, and they're not the people that would stand underneath that stars and bars. But the leadership that they worked under was not going to allow them to do what they finally done on Wednesday.
Well,
Ryan, I just want to get in here quickly. Sorry, Dominique. When you talk about NASCAR, they're not those people. How about the fans? Because earlier I shared a Facebook post by Ray Cesarelli, a driver who has decided to now leave because NASCAR has banned the Confederate flag. So do you also see that sentiment when you're covering those events? I've been in sports for a very long time, but I've never had the opportunity of covering a NASCAR event.
All right. So there are essentially 40 teams in the Cup Series, the top level. There's essentially 35 teams in the Xfinity Series, which is like AAA baseball. That guy who says he's going to quit is a team owner in the Truck Series, which is basically AA baseball. See you later. I've got one guy out of roughly more than 100 team owners who made that declaration on Facebook. I'll see you later. And I think that's what the numbers are. Listen, there will be 5,000 fans in the stands at the Talladega Super Speedway in a week. There's going to be 44 RVs. The first time fans have been back in the stands, a very small group, very spread out. There's no doubt about someone is going to show up who's going to try to sneak a flag into the thing. NASCAR knows. Listen, what do rebels do? They rebel, right? The last thing that someone who flies a Confederate flag wants to do is be told what to do. And so they're going to be protests. Guys are going to show up. But NASCAR is ready to fight that. And so that's the difference, is they're willing to leg that out. If that guy wants to quit because of a Confederate flag and he said it wasn't, it's totally what it was. Listen, the greatest invention of all time on Twitter is mute this conversation. So when I posted my column last night, I immediately hit mute this conversation because I don't want to hear it, because they're the loudest people. And I don't have to hear from them, because I know the reason they're reacting the way they're reacting is they realize their extinction is due, and they realize they're outnumbered, and they're outnumbered at the racetrack. And that small group of loud rednecks who believed that the racetrack was a safe place for them, it wasn't. And now officially it's not. And you start flushing the roaches out of the dark rooms, man, they get scared. And so I don't care if that guy quits. I don't care what anybody says to me on my Twitter timeline. Steve Phelps, the president of NASCAR, doesn't care about the death threats that he's receiving. At the end of the day, you're either on the right side of history or you're on the wrong side. And it took NASCAR too long to get here, but they're here.
First, take your take on ESPN News. That's some strong statements from Ryan McGee, and I said it earlier. I'm backing it the only way I know how, and that's to give him money. I went out there and bought myself some Bubba Wallace gear today because I'm proud of what NASCAR has done. Hugh in Pennsylvania, what's your take on this?
Well, I think NASCAR took the first step yesterday, but they need to go further. That right now, what we have in NASCAR, it's a white male-dominated sport. Over time, and by that I mean the next 4 or 5 years, NASCAR needs to make an effort to bring minorities and women into the sport so we don't have one African-American driver behind the wheel. We have several. We have African-American minorities and women on top of the pit box, going over the wall to change a tire, and so forth. And if they do that, this will really go down in history as the first step to making NASCAR better. Thanks.
I agree with everything you just said. I think this is a first step. But for NASCAR to make this first step, I give them a tip of the hat. Now, we will all look and see what comes next. Speaking of what's coming next, should Colin Kaepernick want to play in the NFL if a team wants to sign him? First Take discussed it. Plus, we have our first caller that's going to disagree with me. We've had a lot of conversation, and frankly, I've been surprised at how many of you guys have been right on our side. But not everybody is. I say our side, right? Have been right in my logic. Let me say it that way. There are people that disagree. So we'll let the conversation go on. I'm not going to back away from dissenters. We'll take some of that take next. But first, the Home Depot here to help. They have many ways to help. You can download the app, go online to find the essential products or information you need. I had a toilet leaking over the weekend. Had no idea how to fix it because I don't know anything about that sort of stuff. So I took a picture of the part that had water on it, used it in the Home Depot app. No lie, it told me what aisle it was in, what bay it's in, and how many they had in stock. So I was able to hop in the car, put on my mask, go in, get the piece quickly, check out. I was out in a matter of seconds. And on top of all of it, they've got thousands of how-to videos for projects, repairs, teaches you how to take care of what you need to do. I learned how to fix a toilet. I still don't know what that part's called, but thanks to Home Depot, I got it done. They've got what you need online. They can have it waiting for you at the store, or they can even deliver over 1 million items for free. The Home Depot, here to help. Home Depot, how doers get more done. We'll get more done with your take coming next. First Take, your take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Don't forget, you can ask your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio, and it still gets you to hang out with us. How cool is that? We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and you can hang out with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. A bunch of you guys have done that throughout the course of the day, and we've been talking a lot about NASCAR. Now, we'll get into, in just a minute, some First Take. There was a moment today with Spike Lee that I think you're going to want to hear and get some reaction from. But a lot of you are on hold to talk NASCAR and NASCAR's decision to no longer allow the Confederate flag to be flown at their events. Now, most of the calls we've had throughout the course of the last hour and a half have been very similar. It feels like there's been an echoed sentiment that this is a good thing. There's been an echoed sentiment from NASCAR fans and non-NASCAR fans that seem to stand in support and, frankly, surprised that the sport made this decision. But not everybody has to be on the same side of this discussion, and I'm not afraid to take dissenting conversation. So let's go over to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. James in Oklahoma. James, what's your take?
Well, it's pretty simple. I live in America, and I'm kind of surprised that a corporation like NASCAR or a radio host like yourself or anyone is going to sit there and tell me how I should believe or how I should think. There's a lot of stuff that's been lost. The history of the Civil War, the history of the flag, the history of what the states have done. You guys talk about disinformation, but the disinformation flows on a daily basis. The war between the states was not about slavery. Slavery was an ancillary problem that nobody really wanted to deal with. But the South needed free labor. I get that. What the war was really about was the states telling the federal government, you are not going to jump in on states' rights and destroy our autonomy. Okay? If you don't believe me, that's fine. I have no problem.
James, don't go anywhere. Let me chime in. Don't go anywhere. First of all, I lived in the South for 20 years, so I'm fully aware of the discussion that we're having. Frankly, I spent most of my professional life on country music tour buses. So if you don't think I've had conversations about states' rights, you're fooling yourself. I understand where you're coming from, and I understand the way you're presenting your logic. Let me say this, a couple of things. Number one, it's up to any business. The business can't tell you what you can do is your premise. Well, that yes, they do. Fact is, there's a sign on most doors that say, no shirt, no shoes, no service. Difficult for me to say. They have the right to tell you as a business what they're comfortable with. Any business has that opportunity. You then have the ability to turn around and decide what you're comfortable supporting. So I'll throw that portion of the argument out because it's just not factual. Now, when it comes to states' rights, I was on First Take a couple of years ago having a debate with Stephen A. and Max, and I used the phrase states' rights. And I'll never forget, I got a DM from Bomani Jones, someone I respect the hell out of, and Bomani said, I don't think you really understand the power that phrase has. At the time, I didn't. I was educated on it. So I understand where the conversation about states' rights. The fact is, even if it's been disinformation and even if it's all been twisted, if it's been twisted to the point that it causes an entire group of people hurt, why keep it?
And here's my thing about that. Who in the world told anybody that America is a place where you are never going to be offended by anything? Who told anybody that someone speaking can't offend someone else? Someone sitting there flying a flag can't offend anyone else. This country was built by people who, even if they were offended, did not trample on other people's rights, their personal rights.
You don't think that the entire black community had their personal rights trampled on?
I have friends who are black. I have friends who are Asian. I have friends who are Jewish. They're not my black friends. They're not my Jewish friends. And they're not my Asian friends. They are my friends.
But I'm asking you a very specific question, though. You just said that people haven't had their rights stepped on. You don't believe that during the slavery era, there were stepped on rights?
What part of the slavery era did you have anything to do with or I have anything to do with?
That wasn't my question. You just told me that America was built by people that were not stepping on other people's rights. You just told me that America was built by people that were not stepping on other people's rights. And you can actually defend that statement? So fine, I'm asking you to defend it because it was certainly built during an era of slavery. So explain to me right now in front of America how that wasn't stepping on somebody's rights in that moment, because that's your phrase I'm throwing back at you.
You're not going to twist what I said.
I'm not twisting anything. Those were your words.
Yeah, you are twisting. I'm not disputing that slavery occurred. I'm not disputing that that was a trampling on those people's rights. What I'm disputing is this. You don't have the right, just because you're offended, to tell me that I can't do something. Okay? Being offended ends at my rights.
The counter to that is that you don't have the right for me not to tell you that it makes you look like an ass when you do it. Do you? And that's what this conversation is about. I don't have the right to tell you you can't fly a Confederate flag. You are absolutely right about that. It is not illegal. But NASCAR has the right as a business to stand up and say they won't accept it as a company. They have every right to do that. And I have every right to stand up and tell you how I think your flag makes people feel. If you have the right to fly it, I have the right to speak on it. Do I not?
And I give you every opportunity to speak on it. I would defend your right to speak on it to the very death, because that's what America is about. Just because there are conflicting opinions, conflicting points of view, it does not mean that I have the right to tell you, Jason, you don't have the right to have that opinion. You don't have the right to speak that opinion.
I just told you I don't disagree with that. I can't tell you not to fly a flag. Legally, I can't do it. But can NASCAR tell them that they're not allowed at their events? Heck yeah. What prevents NASCAR from telling everybody that they won't allow that flag at their event?
They say whatever they want, and they also have the right to go out of business.
Ratings for last night's race were up 101% from the year before. 101%. That is a fact. So tell me how they're going out of business.
Oh, well, It depends on whether or not the consumer is prepared to support them. And as far as this consumer is concerned, I am not.
Well, and you know what? You have that right all day long. You'll have that right. And thanks for your take on it. I'm not going to hide from dissenters through any of this. You have your right, but I'll tell you this. I've never spent a dime on NASCAR, and I spent $100 today. So you know what? I think there's enough people like me that are going in and finding Bubba Wallace gear that it's going to outdo what you've done. And the receipts are there. Last night's race was up 100%, 101%. All right? That's fact. So if you want to call, like, I'm all in. If you want to call and you think you can have this debate, like, I love how many of you on Twitter want to come in and call me whatever you think because you don't know my background. All right. I have been in the South, much like Ryan McGee. I lived 20 plus years in the South. I've heard the conversation. The difference between me and you is that I'm continually listening and evolving. All right. That's what we should be demanding from everybody. Do you have a right to fly a flag? Heck yeah. You're American. And if you want to fly that flag, you have that right all day. Do I have the right to then turn around and tell you what I think of it? Heck yeah. And if I can't, in a world of freedom of speech, tell you what you can and can't fly, you damn well sure can't tell me that I can't talk to you about it. I won't take it. First Take Your Take all day. ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I don't even know the own phone number. I'm so worked up. I won't yell at the next person, I promise. Well, I can't promise that. But we'll take another one here. Tristan in Pittsburgh, always love it when you call, Tristan. I won't yell at you, I promise. Thanks for calling the show, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it, Jason. So I want to address this from a point of deductive reasoning and just point out that this really isn't even about NASCAR. NASCAR is just being the poster child for this argument. I want to read a quote to you, and it really speaks to me and how this flag is not just about divisiveness. It's about hate. It's about oppression, and it's been about enslavement of a group of people. This quote is from the Cornerstone Address, and it was made by Confederate Vice President Alexander Stevens in 1861. And I'm going to paraphrase it because it has a racial slur in it, but I'm going to say that Alexander Stevens said, upon the great truth that the black man is not equal to the white man, that slavery, subordination to the superior race, is his normal and natural condition. So for anybody sitting here and saying that this flag is not a symbol of hate or racism or enslavement just aren't understanding the facts on what this was about. I know that this was about devolution, and this was about that the federal government was telling states what to do, but they were telling the states not to enslave people. That's what this was really about. They made it about devolution, but it really wasn't about devolution. It was about slavery. And so for anybody sitting here, the last caller included, saying that this is about, you know, Southern pride or Southern symbolism, or this is about devolution, find a better symbol. Find a symbol that does not represent hatred for an entire group of people. Find a symbol that does not divide America. Find a symbol that is a better representation of what you're trying to portray instead of hatred.
I don't disagree with anything you just said, Tristan. That was really well said. Really well said, man. Look, we're going to take all of these perspectives. A lot of you guys are on hold. And since you guys want to talk about it, as we like to do, we'll let you take over. I want First Take to become your take. And that's what we're going to do coming up next. More of your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get you guys in next. More of your take coming. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I took some deep breaths, calmed down a little bit, got my fire out. Woo! 888-SAY-ESPN, that's how you get in on the fun. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We've been talking a lot about NASCAR today and their decision as a sport to no longer allow the Confederate flag to be flown. Chris in Florida, what's your take on it? Chris, what's your take?
Looking at it from my standpoint, I mean, my family has black people in it, and growing up here in the South, I've actually seen black people, you know, flying the flag at mud bogs and stuff like that. On an overall basis, though, as a whole, I believe that the flag should stand as a symbol for all people to show what America has came from. I believe if we take it away, you know, and keep it from the, you know, the American eye as a whole, we're not allowing the people to realize what America used to be and what we've came to be now. I mean, now we've got, you know, multimillionaire black people, white people, and Asians, you know, whatever color you call for. And
let me ask you, though, I mean, if you're saying that by eliminating the flag, we eliminate the lessons that we can learn from the flag, isn't that what, frankly, school and museums and documentaries and movies are about, is sort of keeping people informed of that?
Yes, but at the same time, I mean, look at the events of the past week. You know, we've had flag being took down from NASCAR. We're getting all these statues taken away. I mean, who's to say with the same voice that the people are using right now that it's not going to be took out the books? That way it's not there as a reminder.
I mean, so here's the extreme example that I think most people would counter you with. Do you think that Germany should still fly a Nazi flag so that they remember what happened in their past?
No, I don't. But at the same time, I mean, like I said, I've seen black people themselves flying the flag.
That doesn't, I mean, fine, like you've seen that wherever you've seen that. I can't speak to that personal experience that you've seen or why somebody's flown that flag. It's not about even, you know, it's not about the words every or none. I mean, at some point, it's not about the words all or nothing. If it's making the majority of black African Americans in America feel uncomfortable or not included in the sport, then what does it matter if there's been a handful of people that have flown it? I can't speak to that. But the argument that you should keep it in culture because you don't want to forget it, I mean, we can look back to several forgettable moments around the world that I don't think people still want to fly flags for. Adisa in Dallas, what's your take on it? Thanks for calling the show.
Oh, man, thanks for taking my call, man. I'm up against the clock here, but I just first want to show you some love, man. Much love and respect for what you're doing over there, man. You're doing an outstanding job.
I
want to say I'm not going to fall for the old banana in the tailpipe trick with the old NASCAR situation the same way I'm not falling for the old NFL apology trick. It's the same old, same old. When I see all of the cars in NASCAR rocking the Black Lives Matter, and I hear all of the owners in the NFL echoing what Roger Goodell said, then I'm all on board. But right now, it's just a smokescreen. It's just something to placate us until they're actually fans in the stands.
And, I think that it's a fair thing that you're saying, and I appreciate your take, man. I think it's fair to say, hey, we need to see action after some of these things. To the NFL, to NASCAR, to everybody. We need to see continued action, whatever that means, right? So I think that's a fair thing. But I will still look at this moment as really a banner moment for the sport because it is some sort of action. Rick in Florida, what you got, man? What's your take? Quick.
Thanks for picking me up. My take is, as a black man, when I saw that ESPN banner that said they removed the flag, my first thought was, all right, it's cool for me to watch NASCAR now. And that's all I got.
Yeah, man, I see that's what I think a lot of people are going to echo. Patrick tweeted me and said, you're right. A company has the right to change what they want. It's our choice whether we want to support that business. To that argument, Patrick, I think there's a lot of people looking around today saying, you know what? I'm going to support NASCAR. As I said earlier, I've done it with my own money. I went out, I found Bubba Wallace gear, I bought Bubba Wallace gear because this is a huge statement for the sport and I want to stand behind it. Somebody that was courageous enough to put themselves on the line. Look, I understand that some conversations are difficult and I understand that some topics have two sides to every story, but when the one side of this is based so much in hurt, don't you have to at some point look around and say, is it worth the hurt that it's causing? To me, absolutely not. And to me, if you want to fly a flag, as I said earlier, I can't stop you from doing it. But you can't stop me from giving my opinion of what that means. Kudos to NASCAR today and yesterday for speaking out. Will Kane going to continue the conversation coming up next. Thanks for listening to First Take Your Take.